Let's talk about Dirty Water. And no, we don't mean the song. Boston's combined sewage and storm drain system is really old. And when it rains a lot here, those drains can overflow into our rivers and bays, but that is because they don't want to overflow into our houses, which I appreciate. But the problem with that is it can make swimming or even touching that water kind of dangerous. And then not everyone knows when those overflows happen and when you shouldn't be touching that water. But now, thanks to the hard work from some of our WBUR colleagues, you can hear more about that. WBUR's Assistant Managing Editor for Climate and Environment, Kathleen Masterson, is here to tell us how. Hey, Kathleen.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So first, I want to get to some of the basics. Can you remind us, how does this overflow happen? Is it something in the mechanics of how the drainage system works?
Exactly right. And it's not intuitive, and it's also underground where you can't see it. But basically, some of these older systems in about 18 communities in Massachusetts still have them. They are called CSOs, combined sewer overflows. And the sewage, any wastewater that comes out of your house, that shares a pipe that is piped in with stormwater runoff. So they share a pipe, it goes to a treatment facility, it works beautifully, it gets treated. All's good.
So house wastewater, that's sewage, right?
Yes, okay. That's from your toilet, your shower, your dishwasher. It's sewage. It's okay. Raw sewage. There's some raw stuff
that's,
in there.
Wow, okay.
And the problem is they normally work well, but when it rains heavily, then the pipes get backed up. And in order to prevent what you said, having that raw sewage come back up your toilet, it overflows into nearby bays and rivers. That's the design.
Yeah. I mean, so, you know, you mentioned this is a really old system, like 1800s kind of old. It's been like this for a little while. Why are we talking about this now? Why should we be so concerned now?
Yeah. Well, the state has done a lot of great cleanup starting in the 80s, and a lot of that was from lawsuits and pressure to clean up Boston Harbor and Charles River. But even with all of that work, we are going to see more and heavier rainfall with climate change. So it's become kind of a renewed problem and gathered renewed attention. I mean, last summer was one of our wettest on record, and we're going to keep seeing these kind of shorter, heavier bursts of rain are predicted with climate change, particularly in the spring, which is right now. We'll see what this particular spring brings. So it is really important to address this while we can, particularly in terms of alerting people and bringing awareness as a first step.
Yeah. And how serious is it? I know we mentioned already as we were getting into the segment that touching this water can be dangerous. So is it, you know, if you happen to go out kayaking, you get a little splashed by it. What's the danger level here?
You know, it does vary, so I don't want to say one blanket answer, but raw sewage certainly has bacteria, it can have viruses, that kind of thing in it. And I will say that anytime it rains a lot, there are other things on the land, dog poop, oil, cigarette butts that just get washed into our waterways
anyway. Lots of chemicals, yeah.
Lots of chemicals. So even, you know, when there's sewage overflows, that kind of ups the risks. But you always should be careful after a rain about going in the water. But I guess to answer your question, there are times when it really can have dangerous bacteria and you do want to avoid it. That becomes very hard to predict, though.
And can you talk a little bit more about the communication system that alerts residents? How are people able to find out about this? And is it all that effective right now?
Yeah, it's a real challenge, honestly. Just starting in 2021, there was a bill signed into law that required towns and municipalities that have CSO overflows to have some kind of notification system to alert residents. Like, you deserve to know if in a water in your backyard there's been raw or even partially treated sewage overflowed. So that system is, you know, it's been about 3 years. It's still getting off its feet. But frankly, just inherent in the system are some real challenges. If you live, for example, in Cambridge on the Charles River, you may sign up. You may not know to sign up. So you may have no idea, I need to sign up to get these alerts when sewage is flowing into the water. And two, even if you do sign up, there are actually 10 CSO outfalls on the Cambridge River. So you may not know, hey, I've got to sign up in other communities to get a full picture of when there's been raw sewage in the water. So not through anyone's fault, but just through the reality of the system, it is really challenging.
And now WBUR has a tool that can help more people learn about this and a different, more, substantial way. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. I have to give full credit to Miriam Wasser. She has done a lot of this reporting, and it was her brilliant idea to be like, hey, wouldn't it be a great public service if there was one place you could go and see if there were sewage in the water? So we have kind of taken on the daunting task of taking 180 of those overflows, putting them into one real-time place. And we've built, with the help of multiple people, even including our data whiz, Roberto Scalisi, we have put all of those overflow alerts into a real-time map. So at a glance, you can take a look and see, okay, I'm looking at the Charles River near me, or the Merrimack River, or outfalls in Worcester, and you'll see green if nothing has overflowed in the last 48 hours, and we've got a little red if something's overflowed in the last 24, and an orange if in the last 48. So
sounds like something easy to understand and follow. I always like a good color-coded map there. Yes. That's great. Yeah. One thing that it keeps coming into my mind when I hear about how old these systems are and the problems that they can cause. Why don't we just fix them? 1800s is a long time to have infrastructure still around. Why not do that?
It's a great question. I will say the state has fixed some. There were some massive overhauls in the Boston area that built like a 2-mile-long tunnel to shuttle some of this water, treat it, and then let it overflow. So that has the water quality in the Boston area has been greatly improved by some of these treatment facilities, which don't treat it as well as a proper like Deer Island treatment plant, but it's better. It gets bleached and some of the gross large things like diapers get screened out. So we do have some improvements, but the reality of why we haven't fixed all of them is really cost. It's incredibly expensive. I have a stat about like one street in Worcester, just one little neighborhood street was $3.5 million because you've got to rip up the street, take the pipes and literally build, here's my stormwater pipe and here's my sewage pipe and separate all of them. One estimate I saw for Worcester, that'd be about $500 million with a B to fix all of Worcester.
Yeah. Expensive and also really disruptive, I can
yes.
only imagine. Well, Kathleen, so great to have you on to tell us more about this and this new service by WBUR.
Thank you.
Kathleen Masterson is the WBUR environmental editor. Thanks again for being here.
Thank you so much.